G'day and welcome to the Sunday Snap, where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round zero in Las Vegas is the coach of Tubes' pods, Tubes. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. I didn't realise the name change this year, the Haas Beans.
Yeah, it's after a bad year last year, Tubes. I just thought it was relevant.
Yeah, wipe the slate clean. What did you finish overall last year? Or is that not part of this new show?
Do we? Yeah, why does that need to be brought up? I don't want to talk specific rankings, but it was not good. It was just inside 15,000.
I am going pretty well. I mean, it took me a little bit of time to get up for the pod. I was very excited for our first Sunday snap, and I was very excited for the NRL to come back. And I just left feeling very flat after that Sharks Panthers game. And I just couldn't take any positives away from it. The Sharks got beat. There's a bit to talk about. Nico not kicking goals. It just took me a while to recover, but I'm back and I'm happy to be here tonight.
Beauty. Well, Chiefs, before we get too stuck into the specifics, I know, do you want to give the people a little bit of an explanation of what the show's going to be all about?
Put me on the spot. So Sunday Snap, we're going to do this every Sunday night. Keep it short and snappy, which we have always said on the pod, but we'll see how we go. And we're going to be doing some reactions, just mainly some talking points. Obviously, we're not going to try to go game by game and do an analysis, but it is a little bit difficult this Sunday, given there's only been two games so far in the round. So probably talking mainly about those two games. And then we're going to have a few little segments along the way. We're going to try things out as we go. Not going to get, keep it fluid, not get stuck in our ways too much. So we'll try things out. And then along the way, we might start doing some questions and answers as well. See how we go.
Yeah, that's your motto so far for Supercoach 2025, Tubes, keeping things fluid. How did your fluid team go today? You feeling fairly comfortable or a little bit disappointed after the first two games of the year?
It was a bit of a meh day. Like Metcalf was no good, but I flirted with laying him, but he's just been upgraded from 6 to 12 in the last few hours. I'm assuming everyone, 55% of people own Luke Metcalf. I think we'll talk about Nico. Just everyone went okay. Rogers up to 73. I brought him in. Yeah. So, you know, all my popular-ish ones, I didn't have any, I had no pods playing today. So it's never super exciting with that. What about you?
Yeah, pretty similar boat to YouTube. There's a couple of things I was happy with. Like, for example, Tamale, pretty happy to have him in the squad, but I didn't play him today. So there's a little bit of a downer there as well. But I think overall, yeah, meh is a good word to sum it up. No disasters other than Metcalf, and he's so well owned, like you said, that I'm not too stressed about that one. But Tubes, let's get into our first segment, which is going to be called The Rage Trade.
Hold on, McGrath. Hold on. One more thing. Before we jump into that, I'm just going to have to pull you up on some hosting duties every now and then.
Please.
We do have an unlimited lead code for the pod this year. So if you haven't joined already, jump in. It's going to be some pretty big major prizes in there. I've been told a minimum of $1,000 cash prize. The lead code is 730400. So 730400. I think it's a bit of a teaser. We got a big show on Tuesday. We're going to be doing a TLT show with the pod and yeah, there's some big news coming, so I can't really give too much away, but the minimum of that prize is going to be $1,000. So if you haven't joined already, jump in there and see if you can take us on.
Good job, Tubes. Well done. Might have to get you to do the intros and the hosting bits next week. I can be off the cuff after that poor performance from me. But now, Tubes, let's get into the rage train.
Are you little?
Tubes, who do you have as your rage trade option for this week? Who do you think is the one that people are going to be wanting to get rid of after one poor performance?
Well, I've already mentioned him, but it's Luke Metcalf. He just looked terrible. Like Supercoach wise, obviously didn't score well. I think he had one really good attacking opportunity, and he decided to throw a cutout pass straight under Xavier Savage's chest so he could run 90 meters to score. And he sort of just looked directionless. Like, if he's going to be the dominant half for the team going forward, really didn't like what I was seeing. And I suppose with Tamari Martin named in the wider squad, you just worry a little bit about what that's going to look like moving forward.
Yeah, I was willing to forgive him for about the first 30 minutes or so because the Raiders have just been so dominant. But then their first proper trip up, they had absolutely nothing. Like you said, directionless is a good word for it. And then their second trip up, he threw an intercept for Xavier Savage. And after that, it seemed like he lost any confidence he did have. It seemed like it was absolutely shot after that. Like he kind of wasn't even really trying anything. So it's an interesting one, Tubes. Is it a justified rage trade? If someone told you they were trading him out of their squad this week, how would you feel about that?
But I think even for the short term, so for this week coming up before the second half of round one, you could potentially plan for your rage trade. And what I mean by that, like currently I'm a big AJ Brimson fan for those that have followed the show, Brimpod, as he's known as, and he's now available at centre wing and 5'8". He got updated with those duels earlier this week. I'm potentially looking at having him in my center wing or Dewey in my center wing or potentially both across there. And that's planning nicely that you could look at then trading out Metcalf, whether it's round two or round three, and you bring one of those up. And so it just allows you that flexibility where if you do decide to trade him out, that you can be bringing in another 5'8", you could be bringing in another center wing, or if you've got duels in center wing second row, like a Dylan Lucas, you could be bringing in a second row. So, I think if, as an owner, I'm planning that I won't be owning him by round three, we'll see if he can kick back. So I'm planning for some flexibility to work out who I'm going to trade into later on.
So, Chu, just to unpack that a little bit, let's before we take Metcalf out to slaughter, what's the advantage? Can you explain a little bit more clearly for people? Because I understand where you're coming from. So I've got Campbell Graham in my squad at the moment. I did have, and then after the game, I traded him immediately out to AJ Brimson. Why does that give me more flexibility?
Because I think just... let's say we get to round three. If let's say Luke Metcalf has another bad week next week and he's just on the chopping block, if you're going to trade out a 5'8", usually you can only trade him to another 5'8". So you can downgrade to a cheapy 5'8", or you can upgrade, find some cash and upgrade to someone else. If you have AJ Brimson or Dewey in your center wing, that gives you the option of actually downgrading Luke Metcalf to a cheap center wing, which it seems like there's going to be plenty for this year. So it gives you the option to basically have a look at some of those other cheapy center wings that you might not have started with. Say Tamale, if you didn't start with him, and that could be Tamale. An easy plan. Tamale.
There we go.
And if you didn't start with him, you get another week at looking at him, and that would be an easy downgrade option to free up 200K as well.
Yeah, so basically it means you have the flexibility to look at two positions instead of just looking at one if you bring in one of those dual guys. So
yes.
definitely a smart play.
I've got Lucas in second row forward. So that even, just the way duels work, that then brings in even if you had a cheap second rower, like you can move things around. I could go Luke Metcalf to a second rower in that situation.
Right. All right, well, let's go to my one who I think is going to be your rage trade candidate for this week, and that's the Prince of the Shire, Nicho Hynes, who, a little bit disappointing, no goal kicking today, which had been hinted as a potential thing that might happen when he lost, he strained his groin, I believe, Tubes, in the trial against the Raiders, and then Trindle kicked for this kind of second half of that stint where they were both on the field. The other thing that I think you could highlight that's concerning is that it did seem like, particularly in the second half, Nicho was very much playing second fiddle to Braden Trindle. So I think there's going to be a lot of people, Tubes, who have him on their chopping block. Do you own Nicho, and are you looking at plans for beyond Nicho?
I do own Nicho. It's probably the most disappointing thing about my day outside the Sharks getting beat. Geez, I was up and about when Nicho put Jesse Ramien over in that first sort of 15 minutes. And all of a sudden...
Didn't kick.
And it's just like, what is going on? Even then, I was trying to take the positives. I think I messaged you and said, might not matter, might not need to kick. Like, he was looking that good at that point in time. I think there's positives with him, but there's some very worrying signs. One of the most disappointing is IVC Nicho. I think Matt posted a picture of him with wet hair. I just got fired up and maybe got a bit excited. Yeah, he's a big rage trade candidate. You got to give him another week. The first half looked very different to the second half. I really don't like the thought of Trindle being the dominant half, but I think it's very difficult to say, watching that second half, that Trindle didn't become the dominant half. And like, even if that wasn't the game plan, like, Trindle has that in him, which I don't enjoy, because Sharks don't have as big of a ceiling if he's the dominant half compared to Nico. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. I don't think you can trade him this off the back of that first performance, though. Can you?
No, I wouldn't. I'd wait to see. I want another week. But like we said, there's also the chance that the groin was just having a bit of a niggle. They don't play now for another 2 weeks, obviously, because even though it's still the same round, they don't play next weekend. So two more weeks to sort out that groin. If there's any word that he isn't Kiko Hines, if he does lose the goal kicking, no longer Kiko Hines, I think I would kick him to the curb tubes. I think it'd be time to go, because I just don't think there's so many points. When Sharks having those big wins, if Nico's not goal kicking, I don't think I'm interested. But the good news is that if this Tom Duffy gets the halfback spot for the Cowboys, we've got a pretty good downgrade option, and then can use that money to fix up any potential holes in the squad. So there is a bit of a silver lining there.
He's got a kick. He kicked it 85% last year. Like, what are they doing? Just don't know. That's like, Sharks get beat. Nico doesn't go that well in Supercoach, and he's not kicking, and Trindle's the dominant half. Like, if they were on my bingo card of worst things to happen today, like, that's probably what's, yeah, left me feeling flat on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's funny, because if you had told me he got 50 points against Penrith, I would have gone, yeah, that's fine. But it's the way that he got the 50 points, which has been pretty disappointing. All right, that's enough on Nico Tubes. Let's get into a few of the biggest talking points. And like you mentioned earlier, we're not normally going to do it game by game, but it kind of lends itself on a weekend when there's only two games. So we'll start with the Raiders versus the Warriors. And I think Tubes, one of the most owned players in Supercoach, who certainly delivered today, is the big horse, Corey Horsbrough. Did you like what you saw?
Like, I didn't get to watch that game live. I was doing running the final nippers session of the year, and so I watched. I knew the score, but I watched pretty much the majority of it on replay when I got home. And the big thing that I noticed was just the freedom he had to offload at will. Like, was just ridiculous. Like, it was from the very first minute of the game. Basically, he was looking to offload and doing it well. So yeah, he looked awesome. What did he play? 60 minutes, 60 points, yeah. Like basically a 1 PPM without any attacking stats. Yeah, I think he's everything everyone wanted. I imagine most serious super coaches have started with him. And if not, you'd be making a plan to be getting him pretty quick.
Yeah, I could only see his minutes going up. Like, I don't think he plays less than 60. He didn't even look, he played the first 45 straight and didn't look gassed. He still looked like he had more in the tank. So, yeah, who knows? I think they're meant to at least sit around 60. I could even see him pushing up towards 65 and 70 once he's got a bit more footy under his belt.
How good did the Raiders look? They've really, that offloading thing, it really, but it reminds you of that sort of Parramatta style from a couple of years ago when they made the grand final, you know, where they just had those really big forwards that were given the license to offload and then had the second phase play off the back of it. Like, and like, we'll talk about what's his name later. Who am I thinking of? Xavier Savage, but even like Timoko and KO Weeks, like they were all sort of, they just looked like they're going to look very good this year with those, if those forwards are given that freedom to offload. Pods and Young.
No, look, they looked hungry, fit and hungry. And I know that like Ricky's got a lot of respect for his leadership group. And I wonder if that, like, it's such a big change of style that I wonder if the players group has come to Ricky and said, this is how we want to play. Because I know Ricky does do a lot working with his senior players. So I wonder if it's a player-led thing, because it's a complete change in style to last year. But it was great footy to watch. And it certainly makes them a much more relevant Supercoach team.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So they're potentially a very relevant team, Tubes. One man you butchered the name of already, but Hot Tamale. What do you think? Did you say you did or did bring him in the end?
I did bring him in. I didn't play him. So he's in my 26 squad, but didn't make the 17 for this week, which is okay. I mean, you're obviously just cheering him on. I don't know. What do you reckon? It was mostly good, certainly very good from a super coach perspective. He seems to be love a tackle break. Had a few off things. Like, I suppose you just wanted to keep the spot. Like, do you think he's done enough to keep Albert out of the side?
Yeah, the chatter coming out of Canberra was that if he played a good game, he could hold that spot. Like, if his form was good, it wasn't necessarily Popper's spot that he's definitely getting back, and it was going to depend on his form. So, for me, he did enough, and it seems to suit their more aggressive, kind of more X-factor play style they seem to be going with. So I liked it. Like you said, real tackle buster. Every run he had, he was busting a tackle, it felt like, and shaking loose. And yeah, very, very strong start. Let's hope he holds that spot. If he does, he's just an absolute must-buy for anyone who doesn't have him if he holds that spot over Hopper for round two. What about Roger Tubbs? You mentioned that you brought him in. Scored a try late. I think, as you say, ended up on 71 points after the updates. I did feel like that try saved him a little bit at the end. He ran for 185 metres, but there was so much of that was just work coming off the line. Like, they were tough carries. What'd you make of Roger's first game? Any concerns?
Like, I mean, it did save him, but they got beat 30-8 and he's got 73. He's on the wing, so he's in for more tries. Even their other try was Capewell on his wing.
On his wing.
He'd just taken a hit up and then it sort of went to Pompey. And the like, although Adam Pompey didn't defend well, he's very much a pass-first center, in my opinion, which bodes well for Roger. So I just think Roger's in for more tries. Like, so, yes, it did save him. Yes, I'm happy with 73. Would I like that to be bigger when he does score a try? Of course. But I think if he scores a try and gets a line break most weeks, you sort of you're happy to take that 73. And if it ended up being 50, that's not the end of the world either. So, I mean, nothing to write home about, but a pass mark, I think, for Roger owners.
Yeah, Tubbs, another one you didn't mention. He also bobbled one over the line too off a grubber. So easily could have had an extra 17 points on top of that. Like, he usually finishes those. So I thought it was fine. I'm a little bit worried about the Warriors. I'm a Warrior when it comes to maybe their potential this year. But we'll see. I did definitely like it. Another very popular one, Tubbs, who I know you and I were never really huge fans on, is Aaron Clark, who I think is maybe up over, he's definitely up over 20% owned from the top of my head. What do you think about his game today?
Is he really? Is he that highly owned? Jesus.
Let me fact check myself, Tubbs, while you talk about his game.
I didn't, honestly, you could ask me what do I think about his game. I think nothing about his game because that's how much I saw him doing anything. Like, I just didn't even think about him. Like, but looking at his numbers, like he only ended up playing 46 minutes, which you would imagine is at the lower end of people that brought him in hoping for. Look, what do you end up on points-wise? So 44 points in 46, 47 minutes. Like, PPM's okay, but that's pretty much like...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just a high-end, cheapy, low-range, low-end, mid-ranger that, yeah, good luck just carrying him through for the next 10 rounds, everyone that brought him in.
Yeah, he did exactly what I expected. 16% owned Tubbs. So I was a little bit exaggerating. Oh, a bit of mayo on there from
still,
me.
But not, yeah.
Tubbs, Dimitri Vormunga is who I was thinking of when I said over 30% owned, because he is. He's 30.2%. He ended up playing 14 minutes off the bench for 17 points, and he's 32% owned. I thought anyone who was bringing him in, the second he was named on the bench, I thought it was craziness to have him in your Supercoach team, because he's a predominantly a back rower who can play a little bit of middle. Coming off the bench with Jacob Laban, who's got pretty big raps on him, not named in the team at all, which means he's obviously got a niggle of some form. I don't understand why anyone brought him in, but for those who did, how should they be feeling?
Shit. Like, what do you want? They've just got someone sitting on their bench that played 13 minutes. Like, there's not much more to say. You can't get rid of him. He's 232K. It's just the ultimate nightmare. Franklin Pelé vibes, but in your back row. Yeah, it's no good. That, I mean, honestly, I barely noticed him either. The that Lika Halasima, I thought, actually at least showed up a little bit more for me, or at least noticed him a little bit more. So, yeah, not very good for Dimitri Onis. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit. This is a good pod. I'm feeling a little bit smug now that you're bringing up a few of these ones that I don't own that didn't go too well.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. I don't know. I think he's just hoping for an injury. I actually think he's a pretty good player. And I thought he looked okay, a little bit kind of rangy and was trying something at least off the bench today. But I think
you're hoping
for an injury.
He gets dropped. You're hoping he gets dropped. You're hoping Laban comes back in. Like, at least then you got it. I'd rather enough than somebody that's getting 13 minutes. Like,
yeah.
Like, how does he get better minutes? Like, if that Laban's still coming
injury.
Back. Like,
it's only injury. It's if Nick or A gets hurt or something and he gets an edge spot. That's it. That's all you're hoping for. So, yeah, I know. Bit of a downer for the 30% of people owning him. Tubbs, I know. I like how this is probably the second time already this guy's come up on podcast this year. He's your man. You brought him up on a previous pod. It's Wade Egan. He's one of your guys.
He is one of my guys. I genuinely gave him some good thought coming into today. I think 490K from memory when I was looking at it. Let me just double check that. 48 in base, all in base, 51 tackles today, and he played 80 minutes. So the interesting part about that minute rotation for me was we mentioned Aaron Clark played 46 minutes. Dylan Walker played 46 minutes through the middle. And basically, Wade Egan played 80. So no one coming on a hookup. If he plays 80 minutes, that's his absolute bottom dollar. And you would expect some attacking upside because he does like a bit of a run. Doesn't mind sneaking over, but also getting the ball out. Obviously not having AFB is going to hurt a little bit at the back end of this year. But yeah, he's certainly worth watching. 490K.
Not for me. I'll just keep watching. There's no chance of bringing him in.
He'll go on a run at some point. I can guarantee you at some point he'll be over $640,000 this year.
That's a big declaration. $640,000?
At some point. I don't know if when you'll catch it, and you've got to catch his right run, but it'll be over $640,000.
Are we about to have our first stake bet of the year?
I wasn't quite. I thought you might go for a stake bet. I wasn't right ready for $650,000, so I just dropped it to $640,000 just to give myself a bit of buffer.
All right, first stake bet of the year locked in. First of hopefully many to come.
You are the only person to beat me in a stake bet, so that doesn't bode well.
But it's always playing on your emotions. It's when logic goes out the window and you get emotional, that's the time to jump in with a Tube stake bet. You've done that with Wade Egan. Tubes, our last one from our kind of main discussion from this game that we were going to talk about is our Mitchie boy Barnett, who my finger was hovering over the trade button. When those teams came out, he was named starting lock. I was very, very close to pulling the trigger on Ola Koatu to him. I'm pretty glad I didn't in the end because he played 52. What do you think for the Mitchie boy owners?
14.5% ownership, probably more than I thought for 661K. I was pretty close too. I was pretty close to doing two things. I was close to bringing Barnett in and trading Roger out for just like a placeholder like Campbell Graham or something like that. Pretty happy I didn't do either. I don't know. That's not what you wanted to see today. It's a funny thing. We were saying it before the pod. Like when a team gets belted, like it's hard to take much out of it. As in, you know, Barnett played well. I thought he looked good.
He did.
He was probably their best forward. I can't see him playing less minutes than that this year. So what did he score in those 52 minutes? Like he must have gone okay.
Around a point a minute, I think.
I wouldn't be rushing to bring him in. He got 55. So like I'd be waiting. I'd be sitting and holding. I wouldn't be rushing to bring him in. I probably wouldn't, you know, if you don't have any other problems, unless you didn't have any other problems, I mean, I probably won't be trading him out, you know, in the first few rounds either.
He probably looked their most impactful forward. And I don't know, it's a chance that the coach watches back, the Webster watches back that footage and gives him more minutes next week. But yeah, once named a starting lock, I think 52 minutes is a bit of a disappointment. I'm sure owners were expecting at least 60 plus out of him, so one to watch. Tubes, let's go to our next segment. Tubes, our man ready to explode this week. And the general plan is, are you happy with your producing skills of clicking the button at the right time?
Yeah. The ready to explode, John? Can I introduce ready to explode? Because this is my segment.
Please. It was your brainchild.
Ready to explode segment. We're going to try to do each week. They're going to be Tubes as RTEs. So they're the people that are ready to explode. It's sort of like up and comers, but they don't have to be. Like it might be a bit of change in minutes. Might be someone that you just think is, he might have been in first grade for a season or two. He's been on the precipice. And you get in the feels that he's ready to explode. And that we were thinking of picking one each, but for this week with only two games, there was only one man that really stood out to both of us. So rather than force us, there's just one man that's ready to explode after seeing him today. Do you want to announce who that is, Jono? First RTE.
No, you got to have the first one, Jude.
First RTE of the Sunday snap. Big. much bigger than he was last year. Looked bulkier. Didn't lose any quickness. Xavier Savage. Geez, he looked good.
He looked amazing, Tukes. He was very aggressive, mouthing off. I mean, I should have said he looked very savage. I regret that. Can I take that back? He looked very savage. Mouthing off at Roger, opposing him. 92 points, 33 in pure base. If you include his power stats, that's pushing up around 50. And one of the things I really like, Tubes, is that he actually was roaming in field. Like, he had a little bit of a roaming role, and which he set
thought
up
thought
he
was Tom Trbojevic in Origin. Like, it was great. He was getting into it that much.
Yeah, there was a moment I was like, is that KO Weeks? But no, he threw a beautiful ball and then was in support. It looked phenomenal. So he's only 428K because I guess he's one of those players in the past who've been really inconsistent and has heavily relied on tries, which the Raiders haven't really gone too well with. He's in 6% of teams, which is actually higher than what I expected. I thought his ownership would be lower. As an example, Campbell Graham's only in like 2% of teams, so he's actually more owned than Campbell Graham at this stage. And Tube's 22 years old. Is there a chance we're about to see Xavier Savage go to the next level? Are you taking a serious look at him?
Wouldn't say I'm paid for Classic. I'm not taking a serious look at him just yet. There'll be a lot of draft owners that are very happy that would have got him average in sort of the 7th, 8th round, maybe more, that are just absolutely cheering after seeing. I liked your call. Like, I thought it as well. Like, I kept mixing him and KO Weeks up. Like, as in, he spent that much time in the middle of the field, and they both just look so dynamic and quick. I think 428 will be the lowest he'll be for a long time, but I'm not ready to pull the trigger yet. I want to see a bit more of those Raiders, this Raiders sort of pack, be dominant, because I do think they have to be dominant. Their halves still aren't amazing. But if the pack's as dominant as it looked today, then, yeah, someone like Xavier Savage is going to just continue to... I just think he looked, like, physically he looked a lot more dominant. Maybe, like you said, maybe it was his aggression and the way he was playing. But, yeah, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he comes into Tubes' pods early on in the season.
Yeah, I have to say it again. I think they played Brisbane in round two, so I'd love to see him. And see the Raiders forwards do it against a big, strong pack like Brisbane, because if that can happen again, definitely. And they do seem like they're going to have a more expansive play style this year.
Strange set up 3 tries as well this week, didn't he, on his side? And, like, I mean, the concern with Strange has always been he's a more run-first 5'8". So you do want to see a bit of that. But also, I guess that license to roam potentially changes things as well for Savage. Like, yeah. Very good first RTE. I'm very happy with him. Matt Timico would have been an RTE back in his day. He looked pretty good today as well. But Savage, just, yeah, unbelievable. 20.
Feels like he's been around for a while. Tubes, we're going to talk about the second game now. We'll just preface, not prefaces like used as a word before. You mixed up precipice and preface and put it into one brand new word. But I'll preface the second game by saying that there's not as many Supercoach relevant players to talk about. Like, we've already discussed Nico. I guess off the back of Nico, I think one person that's really worth discussing is Braden Trindle, who did goal kick today. He's 553K. He's dual position between 5'8 and halfback. Do you think he's a potential option? Like, if Metcalf doesn't fire or if Nico doesn't fire, could you look at bringing in Braden Trindle?
Yeah. I don't love it. Actually, just before I talk about that, I just want a little update. We had Savage at 92 points since we started the show. Little upgrade, 114 points for Xavier Savage this week. So big upgrade, realistically. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Trindle, like 553K, I like that he's dual. If he held on to the kicking, I would think about it and I still wouldn't do it. Like, I just can't see that he's going to be a relevant enough option that he's going to be a 700K Supercoach player. I think, and part of me might be because I hope that he isn't, as I said before, for the sake of the Sharks. I think he's a first grader. I just think that there's a ceiling on the type of play that we're going to end up having if he is playing the dominant style that he played today. But look, 553K, dual halfback, 5'8", with goal kicking. I might be a bit biased. What do you think?
Yeah, you're speaking to another biased person. I've called him a glorified reserve grader on the pod before. So I think I have to take that one back and say I was wrong, because he, like you said, he certainly looks like a first grader and he's been playing with much more consistency, but I still wouldn't feel confident taking him on. I think, for example, Cam Munster, like if people don't own him, he's 50K more than Braden Trindle, and I'd much rather own Cam Munster than Braden Trindle at a pretty similar price tag. So he's not one for me, but yeah, I don't.
What do you have today? He must have had at least 2 try assists, kick goals, and still ended up with 57. Even when he's dominant, just no one's as good as Nico when he's dominant. I mean, even you say Nico wasn't as dominant today. Nico must have had like 10 plus runs. He just chips away, Nico, to get super coach points, which is why he's so good when he does get those attacking stats.
Another Sharky Tubes, who is highly discussed, and I know you had it in your super coach team as recently as earlier this week and didn't pull the trigger on, is Adam Fanua Blake. 54 minutes. Now I've got him down at 87 points with a try, but since I've written that Tuesday, they have updated the scores, so maybe that has changed. But what do you think about that 54 minutes for AFB? Is that enough for you to take him seriously as an option moving forward?
I just think not quite. I mean, you'd be pretty happy if you owned him. That was a lovely try for his Sharks debut. Just that late footwork. It's just such a big fit unit. He upgraded to 92. I just don't think 54 minutes isn't enough to pace K, even for how good AFB actually is. The reason I turned away from him was just the Hawes, Bertino, May, those 3 front rowers at the prices. It just felt luxury to try and get a 4th, sort of premium front row forward, even though Tino's not in my front row at the moment, but just sort of as an option. But yeah, he looked good.
What about Nathan Cleary Tubes? Only 18 more points than Nico Hines. He got a 68 after the updates, but I don't know. He feels a world away from Nico Hines, doesn't it? That 18 points feels like more than 18 points.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was watching the Sharks a bit much. I mean, he pretty much felt like he set up all their tries. Obviously, wouldn't have got some of them.
He only got one assist.
Yeah, the Yeo, and that was off the kick too. So I'm guessing he didn't get a line break. He did feel dominant. He should have had a 40-20. He didn't get everything you expected. I think it's just because everything you expected to see. Jack Cole wasn't that dominant. Cleary was. Cleary kicked goals. He missed he kicked a dead, going for a 40-meter field goal just before halftime that would have lost him some points. He didn't have a 40-20. He only had 1 try assist. It easily could have just been a 90 to 100 Cleary game, and there'll be plenty more of them and more for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I think if you have Nathan Cleary, you're very comfortable.
I thought he went down injured at one point. I do own him, so I didn't want him to be fully injured, but just as a Sharks. But when Nikora gave him a bit of a late hit and he was feeling it, ribs. That's for sure.
I tell you what though, Tubes, you'd be feeling a lot worse if you were someone obviously there'd be a lot of people out there who only own one of Nico and Nath Cleary, whereas we own both. There's a lot of people out there holding out for Duffy. You'd be feeling a lot better if you were a Nathan Cleary and Duffy owner than you would if you were a Nico and Duffy owner.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, that was always the thing. You'd be feeling good right now that was the risk for me, and partially why I ended up going Nico and Cleary is you get the 2 guns. If they both perform well, you're happy. You don't need to go down to Duffy. But if you get one wrong, that's always an easy downgrade option. You get a few weeks to look at Duffy. So that's the silver lining, I suppose. If Duffy comes out next week, you're happy to part ways with Nico and give him a few couple of months to find his feet for the back end of the year.
A couple other people, just generally speaking, from minutes watch over the weekend, Tubes, guys, you pointed out who you found interesting. From both of the games, we had Scotty Sorensen down for 54 minutes this week as a starting edge. IPAP played 49 minutes off the bench. That's Isaiah Papali'i. And Tom Starling, high 60s in the minutes at hooker. Anything from those guys you want to touch on?
Just, I don't think Sorensen at 54, I think he was relevant if he got 80 minutes. Papali'i, 40 minutes. I think he played a fair bit of edge because of Sorensen going off. I think he played a fair bit of left edge. So I think it just basically means neither of those mid-rangers are relevant until it looks like their minutes might change. But if that's the rotation, it won't be anything. I don't know, you're the Canberra man, Starling. What's 68 minutes? That he's 340 something K. 68 points as a start. Look pretty good.
Yeah, we actually probably should have included him in our next segment with those minutes, Tubes, the one that where our last segment left. He would have been a perfect little lad in with those minutes. But look, I think 68 minutes, Owen Paddy coming off the bench, and I just think we need to see what happens there because I can't see him ever playing less minutes than that, Paddy. There obviously is a bit of a young gun who they're trying to blood and bring into the team, so I could see his minutes going up progressively and Starling's coming down. But he had a good game, played well, tackled well, had a really important line break at one stage of the game when things were still fairly tight. So, yeah, good game out of Tom Starling. I just don't think – I think the minutes won't be there consistently with Paddy coming through.
Yeah, I mean – it feels risky, but, I mean, he's a good option if one of the other hooking options don't work out and he keeps consistently playing those minutes. He does have pedigree. Like, he can't, like if he gets the minutes, he's a good player and a good Supercoach player.
It's he certainly would have made Dan to. Proud. Dan would have been a proud man today watching that.
Yeah, he's one of very small number of Dan's boys. Doesn't have many of them.
Tubes, our final segment of the show that we're going to talk about is the Little Black Book. Fire, super producer, you're on fire. Tubes, I'm one who I'm chucking down in my little black book. So just to explain the segment, this is the kind of player who didn't quite explode onto the scene like Xavier Savage, but someone that we noticed something in from the weekend who we think is just worth keeping an eye on who could become very relevant very soon. And the one that jumped out to me from this weekend, Tubes, was Zach Hosking, who played 66 minutes, had 45 points in just pure base. That's not including any power stats. He ended up with a score of, I'm just looking up the updated scores, down to 57 actually. He was at 63 points live. He's down to 57. But what I found interesting, too, about him was that he played that 66 minutes. He actually was taken off for the last 14 minutes when the game was over. So I'm really interested to see if when it comes to a tighter game against a better opposition, to see if they plan on him being an 80-minute edge back row. Because I think if they do, I think he's actually going to be pretty relevant this year.
Yeah, I think not a bad little black book. Like, jot it away, put it down, and he's definitely one to look at. Like 66 minutes on paper, I didn't know that. Like what you just said, like that he was taken off when the game was over. Like I would have said on paper, 66 minutes is disappointing for someone that you're hoping to get 80 minutes. But yeah, a little tidbit there, I think, because if they are maybe he had a niggle. Maybe there was something, but they wanted him to play. The game was over. If he can get into an 80-minute role as one of their, you know, one of their better players in the second row, then he's a definite potential to have as a second row forward keeper. And what is he at the moment? Like 500K, something like that, or in the mid.
Yeah, 513. So yeah.
Didn't even score no attacking stats. That's pure base, isn't it, today?
Oh, he had an assist. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, you know, just wanted to chuck down that little black book, and I'm going to be watching very carefully in the Raiders game against the Broncos in round two.
Have you ever actually owned a little black book?
No, I haven't, especially with the advent of iPhones.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone, Tubes?
I don't have anyone this week. Like two games, there was just nothing that major that caught the eye for me, but I'm sure there'll be something jotted down in my little black book for next week.
Tubes, that pretty much brings us to a close of episode one from round zero for the Sunday Snap. Just a reminder again about that league code. It's 730400 for the Pod Unlimited League with a minimum cash prize of $1,000. And Tubes, you mentioned at the top of the episode, but some big news coming on Tuesday. So for Pod fans, big news coming.
Can I just say, Jono, like we said, we'll keep it short and snappy, 40, 45 minutes max. You've done well. Unbelievable. Handling it like a pro.
It was only two games, so I don't know if two games in 42 minutes is quite the badge of honour that you're making it out to people. We'll take it. We said short and snappy. We've done it for episode one.
All right. You beauty.